mind, the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, the past few weeks we've been talking about some of the claims that Jesus made as to who he was, because as his followers it's important for us to understand who Jesus was and who it is that we are following and why. And the statement we come to today comes from, again, from the Gospel of John in chapter 11. Jesus said that, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." Our reading comes from John chapter 11, verses 17 through 44. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, and Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister, Mary, aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he have opened the eyes who opened the eyes of a blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. He was at the cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off his grave clothes and let him go." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And for some of you, you are probably going to hear something today that you wouldn't normally hear in most churches. Many of us grew up talking about the fact, you know, in churches, talking about and learning the fact that when we die as Christians, we go to heaven and we spend eternity with God. We learned that as children, I think, because it was easy for us to understand. But Scripture teaches something else. Even just as Mary said, when Jesus asked her, "Do you believe your brother will rise again?" Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And that's something that a lot of our churches don't teach us about, is this resurrection. You see, not only will we be spending, will we spend time in heaven in God's presence, certainly, but our bodies will again one day be resurrected. Perfect and flawless, which means none of the men will have any hair. I like to think that. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like to think it. We will have lives again. This is something that Jesus teaches us, is he is the resurrection. We'll start with resurrection. This is something that we have to look forward to. You see, the world will one day be new, and it will be flawless, just as it was, just as the Garden of Eden was flawless. And we will live, and we will do things. And there's a song I heard once that talked about the fact that paradise is exactly like where you are right now, only better. And I do believe that. It will be perfect. But we will have things to do. We're not just going to be standing around in heaven for all eternity playing harps and singing holy, holy, holy. This is something Scripture talks about. Again, it's also brought up a lot in Revelation chapter 20. I'm not going to read that right now, but if you want to go ahead and look at Revelation chapter 20, it talks about someday there being this resurrection after the world ends. There will be a new world. And this is something that a lot of the churches today overlook. I want to make sure that we understand that. But he also said, not only is he the resurrection, but he is the life. We also talk a lot in our church language. We use this term, born again. We use these terms about the fact that we were at one time in our lives dead in our sin. And we have, when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we have this other opportunity. We get this new life. Now, I know many of you grew up in the church and you may not remember a specific moment when you made that acceptance, but I'll tell you from my own life, as miserable as it was before I came to Christ, I do have a new life. And I am alive now where I was once dead. He called my name and I rose from the tomb, because Jesus can do that. He gives us new life, not only metaphorically, as our lives have become new, but just like happened with Lazarus, who was dead in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. And I always kind of think it's funny when, you know, Jesus told them to roll away the stone, and they said, well, we don't want to because it's going to stink in there. And if you want to do an experiment, next time you're at the grocery store, get a nice fresh piece of meat and leave it on your counter for 4 days. And you'll find out what that stink is. Let's not do that ourselves, because it's a waste of meat. And it's a horrible stink. Yeah, we've occasionally found things that have been in the refrigerator for too long. I don't know if anybody's done that kind of science experiment, where something gets shoved to the back and you don't know how long it's been there, and you see this container and you can't remember, and you make the mistake of opening it. There's a stink. The stink of death. But Jesus called Lazarus forward. He said to him, Lazarus, come out. And he did. I mean, enough people had seen Jesus do miracles. People had seen him heal the sick. So they knew he could do that. And in fact, the story of Lazarus, if we go all the way through the Gospels, we'll see that this is actually the third time that Jesus has raised someone from the dead. There was someone who had been dead for a few hours. There had been someone who had been dead for 2 days, but Lazarus was dead for 4 days. 4 days. And if we remember, that's even longer than Jesus was in the tomb. He was only there for 3. But he raised someone up who had been there for 4 days as a demonstration of God's power. That's why miracles happen. It's God demonstrating his power. It's God demonstrating his strength. And of course, Jesus could fix anything that was broken. Anything that was broken. After all, he had made it. He was the craftsman who made humanity, so certainly a man being dead for 4 days could be raised again. And as I've spoken about earlier, this resurrection that is to come, he will be raising people from the dead who have been dead for thousands of years, putting them back together, making them whole, making them perfect. More perfect than they had ever been in our lives. More perfect than we have ever been in our lives. The resurrection and the life. I have a confession to make. My motivation for being a Christian in the first place is very selfish. I didn't want to go to hell. That's why I became a Christian. That's why I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, because I want to be in heaven with God someday, to be in heaven with Jesus someday, to share in his glory. That's really still kind of my motivation, not wanting to go to hell. So as followers of Christ, it's up to us. Now, we can ourselves not claim to be the resurrection and the life. As much as we try to be like Jesus, which as followers of Christ is what we're doing, we're trying to be like Jesus, we can't actually do those things ourselves, but we have the opportunity to offer people the same benefit. We have an opportunity to offer people this same life, this eternal life that we have found in Christ. We can offer to other people, not on our own accord, but through Him, to tell people about Him. And we don't always take that opportunity, do we? I know in the prison ministry I work with, when we meet with the prisoners, one of the questions we talk about is, how have you shared the love of Christ this week? And I know I talked about this when we were talking about, you know, when Jesus said that He was the light. And it's up to us to reflect His light. We can't make light on our own, but His light shines through us. And we can show that to people. And we have an opportunity to tell people about this life that we cannot experience on our own. What a joy it is to share. What a joy it is to feel. Because when this resurrection happens, we will have eternal life. It starts when we accept Him. And for many, one day our bodies will die, but our spirit will go on in heaven with God until this resurrection occurs, and then we will have life again. And again, this is something that a lot of churches just don't teach. But I think it's important that we know what is coming for us. And it's not just life now, and it's not just life in heaven, but it's life in a paradise after that as well. And we have the opportunity to share that with others. We have an opportunity to share that blessing with other people. We have an opportunity for joy, to share that joy. And while we ourselves are not the resurrection, and we ourselves are not the life, we can tell people. We can share it with them. They can experience the resurrection. They can experience eternal life, not just now, but forever, just as we do, just as we will. Amen.
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
Benediction is the good and final word, and we put it at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And I tell you the truth, I'm looking forward to going to heaven someday. Is anybody else looking forward to that? Good. And I'm looking forward to being resurrected one day and being given a perfect body. I can use one of those. I think we all can. As much as we're looking forward to it, do you know somebody else who needs it? It's your responsibility to tell them. Because if they don't know, how can they decide? I'm reminded again of a movie I saw when I was a teenager that was kind of designed a little bit to scare us. But it was a short film about four teenagers who were in an automobile accident. And they all died. And they were standing up at the gates of heaven, and St. Peter said to them, well, you can come in because you know Jesus Christ. The rest of you, I'm sorry. You're not welcome here. And the three who were turned away turned to the one who was going into heaven and said to him, why didn't you tell us? Who do you know that needs to be told? And how long do you have to tell them? I can't answer those questions. But you have the opportunity to help them find the resurrection and the life that Jesus is and that Jesus offers. And I don't know how long you have. This service is over. Your service must now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.